Mr. O'Boyle?
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Anastasia Devlin.
How do I address you?
You can just call me Stacy.
Okay.
Officially, I got a title, which is Chief Warrant Officer Devlin. That's my rank, though, but...
But I don't know if I should call you Chief Warrant Officer.
No, please. Stacy is fine.
Okay. So I was just looking at your bio information and all that sort of stuff, and grew up in West Pittston with the Wyoming area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
How about after Wyoming area, where did you go then?
So I went to Bloomsburg University for a year, and then I wasn't doing the college thing. It wasn't really for me, and I heard that, I had only just heard of the Coast Guard then. It was something I could do military service, but I really wanted to stay inside the country. I like the idea of doing a good guy mission. You know, you're wearing mm-hmm. the uniform, and very regimented life, but you're staying in the country and you're doing good guy stuff most of the time. Does that make sense?
Mm.
It really appealed to me, and of course, the public affairs field, because I love to talk to people and
okay
seemed to fit.
So you joined the Coast Guard then, right?
I did. Yeah, that was 99. So I graduated in 98, went to college for a year, and then when the rest of my friends went back to college in September of 99, I went to the boot camp.
Hmm. Okay. And you're still there, right?
Yep. 17 years later. 17 years. I didn't plan on doing it. I just said, you know what, I'm just going to go and get the college education, which I'm sure everybody, it's like the party line. I'm just here to get my money for college, and I'll be out in 2003 and, you know, moving on with my life. But, you know, then 9/11 happened, and I don't know. It just seemed right to stay, you know. Then I met my husband in the Coast Guard, and we have our three sons, and we're still in. It just seems like home, you know. We really like being in.
Okay, I'm looking through the information that was sent to me.
Mm-hmm. Is it just that one news release with my picture on it?
Yeah, this was just like a Q&A. Why did you join the military?
Oh, really? Yeah. Is it the thing, like, just like, what are your awards, favorite sports team, that thing?
No, describe a highlight significant experience while serving in the military.
Oh, nice.
What's
they must
military
have.
Awards? Are you currently participating in any events?
Okay.
And I don't think this is right. I guess it is the 58th. Is it the 58th presidential inauguration?
Yeah. Yep.
But it's not the 58th president of the United States, I guess.
No, the inauguration, yeah.
Right. and what makes your story unique? All right. It doesn't have your... Your husband's not from this area, right?
No, he's from Michigan.
Okay. And is your dad, Charlie Burns, the soccer official?
Yes, that
oh
is.
Oh, my God.
In fact, he's coming to visit me this weekend. He's coming to hang out with me and all his grandsons.
I saw him the other night at the Grotto in Edwardsville.
Oh, my gosh. I love Grotto pizza. I tell you what, there is nothing like Pennsylvania, Northeast PA pizza.
He was hanging out with Bob King.
Bob King, yep. Did you still call him
Dave
King Madden. Bob?
We call him Kinger.
Kinger? He's Kinger. So funny.
And Dave Mattis and mm-hmm. A couple other people. Yeah, your dad was there.
Oh, that's too funny. I'm going to have to tell him that I talked to you.
Yeah, well, I might call him anyway for a comment.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Now, just give me the... family information of you. Your husband is, his name is?
Darren. D-A-R-E-N.
D-A-R-E-N?
Yeah, Darren. Like Darren,
Darren
and Samantha.
Darren Devlin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how many children?
We have three sons. Tig is the oldest.
Who is the oldest?
Tig. He's got kind of an odd name. T-A-D-H-G. But you say it like tiger without the R on the end. Tig.
Now, wait a minute. T-A-D-G-E? H-E-G? I'm sorry.
T-A-D-H-G.
What is that?
It's Irish. My husband's very into his Irish heritage, and he was walking around for 20 years before I met him saying, if I have a son, his name's going to be Tig. So
and
I couldn't fight him on that one.
How do you pronounce it?
Like tiger, but with no R. T-I-G, Tig, like that.
Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
So I don't even know how to spell it. Thank you. I don't know how to spell Tig. If I spell it the way it's spelled and then say pronounced Tig, how do I spell Tig?
Oh, T-I-G-E. That's how I spell it. So when he goes to school, I just spell it T-I-G-E.
Okay, who's and how old is he?
He is going to be eight next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, who's next?
Then Andrew.
Andrew, I can spell that one.
Yep.
How old is Andrew?
He's five.
Five, and then who?
And then Reese. That's R-H-Y-S. My dad's mom was Welsh, so we gave him a Welsh name.
Oh, boy.
And
how old is Reese?
He's three and a half.
Well, we're going to say three.
Three, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, he's my baby.
And you guys live where now?
Yeah, we've been here. So we, when I had my oldest son, I left active duty and went into the reserve. That was in San Diego, my last duty station before I came here, and I've been working out of Coast Guard headquarters mostly ever since. So I'm here in Alexandria, but I work in D.C.
Okay, so you live in Alexandria.
I live in Alexandria. I'm stationed in D.C. at headquarters. So I'm at the inauguration staff on behalf of the Coast Guard at headquarters. Does that make sense?
Well, okay. So before we go any further,
sure.
Assuming no matter what, I think they may be sending me to Washington for the inauguration. So you're going to take real good care of me, right, with credentials and everything?
If only. We're under the same process you guys are. Everybody's really tight with the credentials up here, so or down here.
Well, actually, when I was at the Democratic National Convention, I met the gal who works over in the Senate Media Center in Washington. I can't remember her name now. I think it's Lauren something or other. But she took very good care of me at the DNC because they had messed up my credentials, and I did not get issued the proper credentials. And as a result, I got the bums rushed for the first day, and I walked what seemed like hundreds of miles in the heat and humidity of Philadelphia. When they finally realized it was their mistake, she really took care of me, and she said, well, if you come down for the inauguration, I will make sure you get
That's so nice.
The best of credentials. So
that's wonderful. You have an in that I don't even have. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I really was the beneficiary of their mix up there, and
that is so nice.
Bobby Casey, who's the senator from up here,
that's Governor Casey's son, right?
Yes, his chief of staff used to be a girl named April Melody, and April was in charge of the media credentialing for the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
She handled. She was like the top person there. And she said, I have taken care of you. You're fine. Just come down, give your name. You'll find. Well, what happened was when I went there, it was all messed up because April's from Scranton as well. And,
no kidding. Small world.
Yeah. So anyway, when they found out, they found me on the list, which they had me mislisted is the word. But she said, oh, my God. And there was a note from April. Please take care of this guy.
Wow. That's so nice.
They didn't take care of me. So when they found that, they bent over backwards to make sure they took care of me for the rest of the convention. So it was tough getting to that point, but I got there. And so anyway, we'll probably be there for the, especially I think if Clinton wins with the local connections here.
Yeah.
We will definitely be down there. If it's Trump, I'm not so sure, but
yeah,
we'll
see how it goes.
Cross that bridge when we get to it.
That's right.
But So anyway, so what exactly, it says here that you are going to be in charge of media operations for the inauguration.
Yep, I'm working in the media operations cell. So I'm taking phone calls and answering what I can, escorting media. So I've been working in public affairs for 15 years now. So, but this is my first joint service environment. So it's eye-opening to be working with my sister services, you know, trying to get through the acronyms and seeing the rainbow of uniforms working around me and also, you know, educating them on what the Coast Guard does and that, you know, we're one of their sister services as well.
So,
Coast Guard's pretty rare around here.
Yeah. So are you sort of like a big shot now with the with this situation now or what?
I am one of a bunch here. So we probably got 35 on staff. We're probably expecting to at least double that by the time the inauguration comes around.
Wow.
So
now,
we got a lot of people coming in, for this.
Where are you in the pecking order there? Are you at the top of the list? Where are you at?
Well, you know what? If you're not the first or second guy, I guess it doesn't really matter. but, you know, I am doing what I can. I'm trying to use all of my experience and stuff and also learning. You know, it's different, like I said, to be in a joint service environment.
Okay, but like I said, the information that was provided to us by, is it Keon? Is that the name, Keon?
Oh, yeah, from the Divots guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're kind of like an operating, you know, system where they hook people up with the right, you know, so they've got the media on one side and they've got all the different public affairs offices on the other side and they're kind of like the people who put them together.
Oh, really, exactly. I'm not sure if Keon is a male or a female. I'm not sure because I didn't talk to that person on the phone.
Oh, I've never spoken with them either.
It says Chief Warrant Officer Anastasia Devlin is the public affairs officer in charge of media operations for the inauguration.
Well, I am not in charge of it, but, you know, as things go, we'll see. We're still kind of fleshing out what our command structure is going to look like. I think for now you can just say I work in the media operations cell. I work in media operations.
Okay.
So right now I am not in charge of it, but that is really nice of them to say.
Maybe you didn't know about this.
Right? I didn't know I was that important.
So, anyway, like you said, you graduated from Loving Area. You went to Bloomsburg. You found out college life wasn't for you.
For me,
you decided to join the Coast Guard, mm-hmm. and you're still in there, and you have risen through the ranks. Where is Chief Warrant Officer in the ranking of Coast Guard?
I think every service except for Air Force has Chief Warrant Officers, which is not officer, is not of the officer ranks, and it's not of the enlisted ranks. It's right in between. There's a certain category called warrants. And if you look on any military pay chart, you'll see there's like E, like the enlisted ranks, and then there's a small category of warrants, warrants 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it goes into the line officers, you know, like a captain or a lieutenant, those kind of officers. So we're right in the middle. So I'm an officer, but only within my specialty, which is public affairs.
I see.
So it's a very
Chief Warrant
historical
Officer.
Rank. It's been around for hundreds of years.
Does the title chief mean anything other than, I mean, are you ranked higher than other? Is there other, like, warrant officers or chief
warrant
officers?
Yeah, so I'm a chief warrant officer 3. In the Coast Guard, we have chief warrant officers 2, 3, and 4. I mean, I think the Army and the Marines have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's pretty rare to meet someone who's a warrant 5.
Okay.
But so I'm right in the middle of the warrant ranks, which is kind of a, you know, you're a technical specialist, but also doing some people management. You know, but like I said, only you're an officer only within, you know, so I could not just go out and be in command. You know, I would be in command of something public affairs-wise, but not operations.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So let's ask you this question now. In your, since you're doing so good, how much can you attribute that to the fact that you were raised here in northeastern Pennsylvania? I mean, what do your roots have to do with who you are now?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Let's see. Gosh, you got to give me a second to think about that one.
Okay, well, while you're thinking about that, other than Grotto Pizza, when you're back in this area, which I assume you do come back to this area.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, absolutely.
Where else would somebody find you if, when you come back?
Somebody find me? Arcaro's. Arcaro's. Sabatini's.
Carol and Janelle's, is that it?
Carol and Janelle's, yep. Oh, my goodness gracious. My mom and my stepdad, when I was stationed in San Diego, they would send me care packages of our Carol and Janelle's pizza. There is no pizza like Northeastern PA pizza. So, yeah, definitely.
Pizza shops, where else would they might find you?
Oh, gosh. I was going to say, man, Januzzi's. So I bring my children home probably. I've been a stay-at-home mom since I had my children, you know, 8 years ago. I've been a stay-at-home mom, and I've been in the reserves in public affairs. So that's about 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. Mm-hmm. This is my first job coming back to the fleet, coming back out of the stay-at-home mom, coming back to a full-time job. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I have, you know, I'm always bringing my sons home to hang out with their grandparents, you know, my dad, my mom, my stepdad. We spend a lot of time in, what is it called, like the Edwardsville? I love the, there's the secondhand shops around Edwardsville, all the consignment shops there. I love that part. I mean, I love, we bring them to Knoebels. I mean, I know that's not exactly Scranton Wilkes-Barre, but man, you know, my kids are like, when is it time to go to Knoebels? Yeah, I do all my shopping at that all those consignment stores over there. That's what I'm like, all right, I make the annual pilgrimage for Black Friday, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. I always hit all those little consignment shops for me, my kids and stuff. Gosh, where would I be found?
Let's get back to the other question about how your upbringing here in NEPA has shaped you and what does it mean in who you've become today as far as Chief Warrant Officer and now working the inauguration of the next President of the United States?
I think it's very we have a lot of history around our area, you know, like there's all these monuments and fields and stuff. You see them all around you. You see these signs, and they really don't take shape for you until you actually are among all these other, you know, monuments in Washington, D.C., you know. And then when you go back home and you visit and you see, you know, the placards at 40 Fort, or you're in Wyoming and you see the monument there, and you see, like, these are the, you know, the smaller versions of what you were fighting for, and this is, you know, the inauguration taking place, you know, like, this is the lead up to what you're actually doing here today. You know, that, you know, in 1789, I think, was the first inauguration, so 200 years ago. All these hometowns, all these things that I've seen as a child, all these placards that I've seen as a child, are what eventually led to this country gaining their independence in small ways, from where my hometown roots are to, bam, you know, this is the 58th, and there's so many traditions that have stayed the same, the military being one part of that, you know. But so I see those monuments at home are just one piece of the whole puzzle of leading up to to the U.S. becoming its own country, and the inauguration is the culmination of that.
How about, like, teachers or people that you were around when you were growing up, how they influenced you and things like that, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Do you still keep in touch with any friends from high school or growing up, you know, anybody?
You know, I used to visit my teachers when I came home, but I haven't talked to them. I mean, I remember Miss Mahalski, Brad, and I can't think of the lady's name. Brad Mahalski was a teacher of mine, and his sister was my first grade teacher. And Miss Curley used to come back and visit them when I was, you know, like probably 10 years ago, I think it was probably the last time. But as I was coming home, you know, back before everything got security locked down, I would stop by, you know, my dad's shop at school, you know, sometimes I'd come in my uniform, you know, and just stop by the high school and be like, hey, this is what it, you know, what your future could be kind of thing. But I can't think of a good thing to say for that one. Goodness gracious.
Okay. All right. Well, how do you feel about the task before you? About do you know what you're going to be doing at the inauguration? And are you looking forward to being a part of this historical event?
I am. It's, you know, it's something you hear about all around the country. And then to actually say, you know, I help make that happen. I'm sure I put it in there somewhere, but I was like, you know, this is something I can tell my kids about. This is something my kids will remember, and I can say I was there on the ground watching the parade, making sure it happened. You know, I was a part of it. You know, and not everybody gets to do that. There's, you know, 2 million something like that service members, and not everybody gets to be a part. You know, this is like the face of what, you know, what the public gets to see of what the military is representing, you know, and I'm part of that. It's something that's very humbling and also exciting at the same time.
Okay. Now you said you put that in there. Did you? Is there some sort of an email that I should have gotten about you discussing this or something? I'm not sure if I got that. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Which one?
About your participating in this. You said something about, I'm not sure if I put that in there. I don't know what you meant by in there. In what?
They wrote that press release that everybody, you know, they sent out this press release on us, and they're just like, can you tell us?
I don't think I got that.
About
that.
Oh, it was the one from, it had the photo attached. It was more about the inauguration, and I think it said something like, you know, I talked to my family about it. You know,
I have the photo that was.
Oh, really? That's it?
No press release.
Oh, no kidding. How did you hear my name then?
Let's see. Let me go back and see what.
Because I was saying, I thought the photo was part of the press release that they put out.
No.
No. All right. I can get it for you. I mean, it's just kind of, like backgrounder on the inauguration, you know, in general.
There is this. Where would it have come from?
It might have come from. Remember the Keon Young and Divids, but, like, you know, I can give you my email address and we'll just get it for you.
No. What did you just say? Divids? Is that what you said?
Yeah, DVIDS.
I do have that.
Yeah, okay, that's the one.
But
I think it only had, like, one quote in there and a bunch of background on the inauguration.
No, this is just, let's see here. I don't think this is a press release.
You want to give me your email, and I can get it over to you? I'll see if I got a copy of it.
I don't want you to send the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like I said, it's only one quote on there from, you know, it's me, you know, with some quote.
I don't see. What I see here is, when it goes to the Joint Task Force, National Capital Region, 58th Presidential Inauguration, and it says, but there's no press release. It's just a group of press releases about the first nail ceremony, the 58th inauguration.
Oh, really?
First,
okay.
Walkthrough, B-roll, Army Captain McInerney supports the 58th. Army Sergeant Jesse Mann supports the 58th.
Oh, it's one of those. BLA Chief Warrant Officer Devlin supports the 58th. It's one of those things.
Which one?
It would say Chief Warrant Officer Devlin. Would start with my rank and my name.
Oh, boy, there's a lot of these. here it is. Chief Guard Warrant Officer Devlin supports the 58th, yeah, and it's But there's all it's just a statement of there's no what I'm saying is there's no press release.
Okay, give me your you know, if I end up doubling up, then I'll just
yeah, this is just one paragraph about you joining the task force to support the inauguration, which will take place January 20th. I mean, it's nothing, no press release. There's no quotes or anything like that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, let me get your email address, and I can send it to you. And if it's okay. A double of whatever you have, then just delete it.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, it's first initial, last name, B. O'Boyle. So it's B-O-B-O-Y-L-E at timesleader.com.
Man, it is so cool, the Times Leader. I used to work out of Miami, and I was doing the drug, you know, when we talk about, like, interdicting drugs or interdicting migrants or something. One of my teachers, Mr. Dombowski, used to grab the quotes. You know, he used to be living down somewhere, and he would, like, grab the quotes and then send them to my dad whenever I was quoted in the newspaper doing public relations. And I'd be like, I wasn't the Times Leader. That's crazy. So, all right. Well, I'll send you that press release.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Is there a number that I could get you at?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have voicemail on this line, but, you know, I'm trying to be here most of the time between, you know, 8 and 4-ish. So, but I'll send it, and you'll have my email address for any follow-ups or whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you do that? And then if I need anything else further from you, I'll send you an email back, okay?
Okay. My number will be at the bottom of my email, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, sir. Have a good night.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Congratulations.
Oh.
And good luck.
Thank you again. Bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye.